All right.
You could have been 13. Do you want to get them to us?
What's that?
They go to Beecher. They're for the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah, he's here.
Where is he?
I don't know. Avoid him. So shall we get started?
Let's
since
go.
Ryan's here.
All right.
All right.
Well, I call this meeting to order, the Bexley Community Improvement Corporation. Roll call of members. I'll just go around everybody. Please say your name. I'm Nate Green.
Sarah Gold.
Ben Robinson.
Matt McPhee.
Not a member, Ryan.
Good to see you, Ryan.
You are now.
That's right. Yeah. Little did you know you're coming to meeting and you're not a member.
Yeah, that's the next motion.
Heidi McCabe.
Ben Kessler.
Monique Lampke.
Matt Klingler.
Mike Simpson.
And we have our guests, as always. Mm-hmm. Lewis, you don't have to introduce yourself.
Beecher, say your name. Just say Beecher Hale.
Beecher Hale.
There we go.
Well, Ryan, since you are here.
Yes.
And I know you have your limited time. We're gonna jump right in, and I think have you start talking about what you're doing and how maybe we can partner on Allen Creek and all that good stuff. So,
yeah,
I'm gonna pull up a aerial.
Yes, and map.
It looks great, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, we're getting there. Got a little bit more work to do.
And you can just get going, and I'm gonna.
Yeah, sure. So, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Middle West. We've been a Columbus company. For about 16 years, we have a place up in the Short North near 5th and High, a manufacturing site and service bar. We've developed brands out of that for years, and we ran out of room. So we were looking for a forever home for the company, not only for the brand, but to discuss, you know, the new world of our world, which is hospitality. It's very heavily hospitality driven. It's more California wine country meets whiskey. We looked at a bunch of different sites and ended up picking up the Allen Creek site, the old Overfield site. Ended up being a pretty good property for us. We started working on it about 3 years ago, believe it or not. And our goal is to continue to develop the area, invest in it, and work on cleaning a lot of it up. It was pretty bad when we got it. We had some remediation, some environmental remediation. And we've gone through and started parceling pieces of it out and working. So our first building we renovated is actually, there's four buildings on the lot. This is our main office building. There's a small little garage. There is a long building here. And what we're calling building four, which is the largest building, but the property comes all the way down and goes all the way out to where basically the cell tower is and, you know, basically borders White Castle right here. Our goal is to clean the area up as much as possible. You've seen what we've done with building four. A lot of the limestone, it's called Panther Black treatment on the buildings. We have a lot of landscaping to do. I didn't realize how much that was until I got the budgets. But we are developing the whole site. We're putting in two more property buildings. We're putting in a building here, and then we're putting in another building here. We're renovating this building next, and then we're putting in about 470 parking spots.
Wow.
Our goal is to see about 500,000 unique visitors a year. So it's a pretty big site for what we're intending to do. We're proud to be down here and happy to be here. We wanted to stay downtown. We could have gone to the country and found stuff far cheaper, far easier to build, but we're an urban-based manufacturing company, which is what manufacturing used to be prior to everybody moving to the country, getting all the manufacturing out of major cities. You don't need to do it. It is more expensive. But we believe it's right for us, for our visibility. So. We actually started the plant, so building four is completed on the inside. The outside has some work yet, and building three on the inside is done. We'll start skinning it next, and then we'll keep going and hopefully have something to show you for the hospitality here soon. There will be a food feature. Can't say what that is yet, but we're working on it. But it should be pretty nice. We met with Ben to discuss the opportunity in the area because, as you're probably aware, there's some challenges on this corner. We did talk to Sheets about the gas stations, got their answer. Probably the energy you think that it is. And we have.
Why don't you talk about those challenges, just like to enumerate kind of some of your concerns?
Sure. I pick up about a half a dozen bullets in my parking lot every week. There's been murders on the corner since we've been there. Many. The gas stations are a huge problem every night. We have staff that pull in there and pull out constantly. They literally fear for their lives. They pull out and then they take off. So, yeah, There's some work to be done. The building behind the gas station, there's a lot of people that hang out there. This is where we had our environmental problem from this property. It leaked all the way through the ground into our property. We had to remediate it.
When you say the building behind the gas station, you mean the little storefronts?
Yeah, right here.
What's that?
I believe it's a recovery center of some sort. I don't know the actual name of it, but these two buildings are definitely challenging. We have issues here with it. It's what you know of, and the challenges are there. I have talked to White Castle and their development group, and they're interested in working with us in the area. So we started that conversation about 3 weeks ago, and we'll see how far we can get. But you know, our goal is to try and help the area. It is the turn into Bexley. I mean, you take the road, it goes right into Bexley. So it needs help. We are currently working on expanding the walkway. So right now it stops right about right here on our property. Actually, you can see it. That's the edge of the walkway. So people walk up here and come down, and we're shutting that off to public. So we're going to extend the sidewalk all the way down to the next property. So at least people have, they don't go walk over stuff and trample. It's pretty trashed up. So we put a bunch more trash cans out, and we're emptying them every week. So we have a crew that comes and takes care of the property, and they do that for us. We had to hire 24-hour security. We had, this is probably short, we had 12 break-ins. First break-in, they took $250,000 of product. So we've had a lot of our challenges there, but one by one, we've been going and putting things in place to gate that and continue to work in the area. We're not gonna stop. So, those are some of our challenges currently.
Can you talked with the property owners that are to your north there, or it doesn't really matter? What are your issues?
Here or there?
On top.
Beyond White Castle.
Yeah, that above way, White Castle.
I have not. The gas stations are just horribly bad.
Yeah.
So the idea would have been to acquire them and work with them, sheets, to come in and take that out and just clear out a lot of the challenges. I don't believe that's going to be an issue. It's not going to be possible right now. They have a crime rate statistic that they follow, and it was far over that median for a location. It would be ideal. It would be their closest location to downtown, and you know what they do. They clean a lot of places up if gas stations needed it. If not, I would love to acquire and greenfield it and put trees and everything in. And my goal is to slowly pick up the properties if I can get them and do something with them in a better manner, raise them, clean them out.
Just to support that, I worked on a project for Ohio State where they wanted to get rid of convenience stores. Is on Summit and Third, right?
Fourth.
Summit is Third, yeah. Just because it over the Rhine in Cincinnati, they discover if they get rid of those, the crime level drops. That's exactly what happened.
It's exactly what, I've seen the statistic as well. That's why we're thinking about how we can do that and what can be done for the area. It got worse recently because they opened up a drive-thru. So they opened up a beverage drive-thru. So, I would say it's probably, I would say that those two gas stations represent 80 to 85% of our challenge, if not more. In the area, they bring a lot of the challenges in.
Yeah.
So, but hopefully, our construction will last another 24 months. So we are through our first phase, which is getting the facility running, the distillery operational, and getting the packaging center open. The next phase will last about 24 months, and then we'll have those buildings I was talking about, the finished green space, the restaurant, the history center. Ohio has a very deep rooted history in whiskey production. In 1870, we produced 6 times the Kentucky grain.
Wow. What? Yeah, you just didn't brand it very well.
No. It after Prohibition, taxation, we had the larger cities far more than Kentucky, so it was easier just to stay down there and not get bothered. So,
how many employees do you have working on site right now?
We have 105 employees, and we're growing to about 250. That'll be a combination of this site, the Cortland site, and then we picked up, we're working on another farm south of us couple acres there, and then we picked up a 380 acre farm around Buckeye Lake where we're putting up warehouses for whiskey storage. So all in total, about 250 people. But most of them will be there.
When would the first customer be walking in your door?
It's debatable. We could do tours now, but it's pretty bad. We have a lot of work to do, so it's probably not in our branding style to do that. So I would say that 18 to 24 month window, it'll be a grand opening. We'll cut the ribbon, open the doors. We are keeping open, and I talked to Ben about this briefly. We're going to have a lot of green space, and we're going to have a lot of parking, and we will have a lot of security. So there are things that can be done on site there. We're discussing bocce courts and car shows and all that kind of stuff. We've already spoke to Porsche USA. We spoke to Ferrari USA. So we're trying to figure out what things we can do. We'd like to do one thing even through the winter. So as you're thinking about things to do for families in Bexley, there will be opportunity for that. We have a lot of green space, a lot of parking. Things can be put up for that. But we'll see.
Ryan, we had talked about some of the vulnerabilities that you see. You obviously mentioned the gas station. Mm-hmm. You mentioned a desire to see the Lion's Den ultimately go away.
Correct.
And then also I think the Buckeye Fried Chicken building, for those of you who remember when it was Buckeye Fried Chicken, mm-hmm. is right here at the corner. One of the reasons I asked Ryan to come here is for us to think about it. We talked about ways, how can we help stabilize the Livingston corridor? Mm-hmm. This goes a little beyond, I think, what we had in the past thought of for the CIC.
Yep.
But also wanting to see, you as an anchor, this use as an anchor, and the mm-hmm. success and the stability that would bring to the area and the corridor.
Yep.
How can we help you, I guess?
I am considering buying that building on the corner. Mm-hmm. And just knocking it down. So I am actively looking for others to bring down here. I have a network in our community brewing, things like that, to target. I've tried to bring North High Brewing down here. That didn't go so well when we did our visits. It's just dangerous. And a lot of people have cited that as a problem for their employees. I don't know at the moment. I know UN is right at
the creek.
The highway, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure. Yeah, I do have a desire to buy this. So I don't know how we're going to do that at the moment. It's just a lot of property to pick up on top of trying to run a company.
Right.
So ideally, I'd take it all down, the whole site, and put fields in and trees and parks. That's what my ultimate goal would be. I know that's not feasible because there are a lot of businesses that are not going to do that or allow that, so I have to live within what I can do. But there are some immediate potential targets. That's why I am talking to White Castle about a potential move to that corner. There is a challenge.
It's the Buckeye Fried Chicken corner?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is White Castle's number one grossing store in
Columbus. No way!
You know what? They always say that.
Weird. Whatever.
Every store.
Right? I don't know.
Dining room is closed.
One of the few that's even open.
I can attest to seeing the volume. That line never stops. There is a car in that.
There's a big opportunity to do a drive-through only store. I mean, that.
Well, Nick's pretending she doesn't know that's where the White Castle is.
She's never been there.
I can attest to the quality of the burger there.
So, ideally, if we can work with them, I've already told them I'd like to take that property and move them down. Was really frank with them about it, and the door is open. It's a big ask. It's a big money ask to do it, but I can try and figure it out. We would then create our entrance to this site here. We would take this out, and this would be the entrance to all of our parking, which is right here.
Ryan, I do want you to know it's 6:15, so I want to respect the time limit you gave me.
Yeah, sure.
Can I ask one very quick question? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not quick. So I think we're aware of the challenges in this area. Maybe we should be more aware, but I think we get it. But I'm also curious because maybe sometimes we don't understand what our assets are too. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. I'm just trying to say what then led you to say, this is a place that makes sense for us. So we understand maybe how we can sell the upside.
Well, it's the entrance to Columbus. It's on the east side of the city. It's highly visible. We just put up something that's 84 feet, and it's a billboard running around Columbus. It's on the turn to I-70 downtown, and this property right here, that grain tower, that will be painted. There will be a massive white tree on it in the coming months. I think it's an opportunity to revamp an area. We looked everywhere. We looked at the trolley barn prior to being acquired by Red Hayes. We actually put an offer in on it. We looked at Old Town East, we looked at Franklinton, and they all have their thing going on. Franklinton's taking off, as you're fully well aware. Old Town East is challenging because there's just no space and it's residential and it gets to be a little challenging. The reason this became so attractive, one, is zoned in two. So it is manufacturing zoning. So for us, that's really critical. I don't have to really force through a lot of the change that we would normally have to. And then access, road access. You're right on an I-70 corridor, and this property has its own light. So I can leave the property, be right on I-70, and our trucks can be at the farm and putting barrels away or bringing them back quite rapidly. So location was really critical, but also, you know, I wanted to stay down close to downtown. But we also looked over next to the crew stadium. So there's a little sliver of, there's 14.7 acres that curves 670 against the tracks. We tried to buy that, but Savco was on that and they wouldn't, you know, budge. So we couldn't pick that up. So I feel like we got a gem, to be honest with you. I think that the development's gonna go well. We'll see how the rest of it goes. I hope we can attract more people down. I hope we can attract more businesses down to the area. So.
And is the city of Columbus, have you laid out your plans? Have they been able to support you at all?
So they did file some incentives for us through jobs, and One Columbus is working with us on a lot of stuff. Not necessarily related to this site, but other sites in central Ohio. So we did receive a little bit of that. We do work with some of the development folks, and we are talking to them about the area and seeing what is needed and what can be done. We're talking about streetscapes and things like that. We're going to go ahead and fix our streetscape on our own, but I think there's going to have to be a larger conversation around the rest of the area before really any investments are made, is my guess. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I appreciate the time. I know it's short. I apologize. I gotta go pick up somebody and take them to Scouts. My night. But we will be open, and my door is always open. The office there, 1165. Just stop over. I'm there every day. More over in the bigger building now because we started the plant up. But the door is open, and I hope to work with you. And I don't know what fashion right now, but we're not going anywhere.
That's great.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for going. Absolutely. Cool.
Middle West spirits.
I knew you were going to ask that question.
It was not looking for what you were probably thinking.
Yeah.
It was more around how long do they have to be in that area before you should come in.
What can I get to say?
Where they have their most fancy
No, that's he's on.
Yeah, we're right after Ryan.
Yeah. You want to chat a little bit more about like how we might interact with that?
Absolutely.
Before?
Yeah, I think I don't know. It's obviously a challenging area. You know, it would take a lot of capital to get that done. But I mean, he's right. That's a problem. That corner is a problem for us, not only for the city of Columbus. Unfortunately, I think your point, Stephanie. I don't think the city of Columbus cares. I don't. They don't care about Livingston.
They don't have the resources to.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And they're putting
it's
it in
really
other places.
Like all the way from Nelson.
Yeah.
You know, through. I feel like if you're talking about the area as a whole and like looking at it from a land use perspective, you have to, you know, include that and that strip center and all of it. And there's a Dollar General and people cut through it all the time.
There's a rallies.
The rallies, yeah. It's
In the
Their apps have pretty good deals, by the way, that Riley's. Those Susan fries are no joke. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do.
I've never
been. Hey, you gotta experience it, you know, firsthand. You gotta know what you're
Riley's in 30 years.
My son has convinced me as well.
But that does highlight to just like the benefits of that location, right? It pulls a lot of people, even under not safe conditions, like not the best location, and it's still.
Yeah, his point about access, like, I hadn't really thought of it that way, but it is really good access.
Well, the access has historically been a problem, right? Because, you know, the quick in and out for more nefarious uses, right? That's been a problem.
Yeah, right.
If we can flip that
to
commercial access, because, look, a lot of what we need to think about how we do is you know, how do we create an anchor? And that's challenging, to create that feasibility hurdle to have an anchor, but let's say we have an anchor here.
Yeah,
we have to think about.
Well, and think about how to get either we or somebody you get control of those other properties, and it's a long term play, but it's how you figure that out. Because I mean, he's right. The gas stations. Anytime you drive down there, that's the issue, the biggest issue. Right. I mean, there's a lot of traffic that goes to McDonald's. I think
isn't
that
there like a car wash and
in that
strip center.
Like a strip center,
right. Food, cellular.
Well, it's kind of connected to the gas station.
Yeah.
No, on Elm.
Just south of the Shell in the corner.
But I think they changed that. That's what you're saying. I think that's now a drive-through.
Oh, instead of the
car wash. But
that's right. Well, I think we're maybe across the street.
Yeah. But I think that's what he said that there's a drive-through. Oh,
it's right here.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Because there was another.
The car wash is to the left.
He was talking about environmental remediation. It looked like there was some kind of junk
behind.
So it's creeping all over.
Yeah, we actually looked at this building right here. What you're talking about, that junk.
We
looked at that as a potential service garage way back in the day when we were relocating our service garage. It's just at the face of it, it's a warehouse but it's probably
sure.
Wouldn't be surprised.
That's crazy.
I think, you know, I don't see where we have the resources to tackle this, but I think that, like, we do, maybe we should just play development director a little bit and think through, like,
well,
who could we get?
Okay, can we get
this?
The city of Columbus, are they selling liquor at that Shell station? Can we get them to take a hard look at revoking that liquor license? I mean, can we disincentivize their business?
I thought it was on the list.
Is that right?
I thought I saw it on the newspaper. It sounds like, oh, that's Shell.
I mean, maybe for both of those properties. I'm sure that McDonald's is not a prototype anymore. I mean, I don't know if that's a company store or a franchise store, but helping acquire the Buckeye Fried Chicken and the McDonald's and building a prototype McDonald's, because nothing's going to happen that Buckeye Fried Chicken side because the access is worthless. Unless we got City of Columbus to help with something. I tried to get Coda to look at that. Maybe they
How is that access worse than the McDonald's access?
Because you can't turn left outside of the north curb.
You've only got a right in
wasn't there a McDonald's there?
Yeah, that's right. Probably for that same reason.
Yeah,
that was a McDonald's, a different building.
Yep.
They'd have to go out.
For some reason, I keep thinking about Kyle Katz as somebody who would be.
He'd have some great ideas.
I know.
I mean, he really would.
I feel like Kyle was
full of more ideas than anybody.
Kyle would get fired up meeting Ryan.
He would totally.
Next thing you know,
he's
gonna
buy some buildings.
We could
tear down and
plant cool. I think that's a good
one.
We should do some matchmaking.
Let's do some matchmaking.
All right,
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. But I do think finding somebody who's there will let you know about how you can get the work. Because that's the biggest problem. It's all the people that walk over there.
I see this as a Sarah Gold development opportunity.
I think he already said that they passed the cops, right? Was there that crime data point?
I
just wonder if, like, the city of Columbus thought about in incentivizing them, having some kind of like job, like you have to hire so many people from the neighborhood, just like creating jobs specifically for the neighborhood. Like
they may have stuff.
And I bet Middle West would have been down for that. Like,
yeah.
But I wish the city had. It's not.
You know, they're going to do a. The city's doing a driving park market study. at some point.
Well, they're doing the same thing on Livingston at
a quarter
in Dryden Park.
Or
a Martinson, really? Retail Martinson, yeah. Mm-hmm. They haven't announced who they pick, but they sent out.
What is that? What does that mean?
I think what it means is they're trying to figure out how you can get more businesses on Livingston in Dryden Park.
Slow down traffic with a boulevard.
Yeah.
Well, I love the idea of the other breweries, and then you get a developer who's going to build a couple more breweries, and then you get a developer that's going to build a hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I could totally see it all right in there.
But it'd take a long time, but you'd have to. It would be somebody with, you know.
Yeah, but hey, this is such a dream to have this guy here wanting to invest in the area.
Well, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
That's the thing that's just.
Yeah, it's spending money. He's not dreaming it.
And they've done it before. Because I don't know if anyone can remember what was at 5th and High. I mean, they're like one building behind.
Yeah.
But it was junk. And they, because when I was
service bar,
and now they've built on it, and they have so many jobs there, and the building is really nice, and then the Mead place joined in, so it's like they've already done it once, you know. I know they could do it again, but this is
the business was being done.
Well,
it feels like the crime
internally.
Is really what's like. It sounds like they're trying to make the connections, but it's the crime that's making anybody else take that big leap. So you don't know.
Have a hard time getting retailers there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So because it just feeds on it.
Retail happens without a study because there's demand.
Right.
Right.
And real estate couldn't be any cheaper.
The gas stations go away.
Yes.
That's
sounds like that's the key.
That's
the key.
Yeah.
That's the key to getting that. And they're probably making all kinds of money.
Mm. How much do you think the fried chicken McDonald's poor access site, like?
$500,000. We have it listed. Iowa Cuisine has it listed.
That's what it's listed.
This is, I'm sorry. Let me back up. Am I on the record? I'm not sure what the list price is.
Around, approximately something.
But
like
if you
that.
Had to guess, it would be.
Yeah.
Mike, is that site? I mean, it's just never been. It's because of the access issue that has been vacant for so long.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's why Buckeye Fried Chicken failed.
The chicken was great.
Chicken
Everyone's looking at me now like, you eat the crap. I can tell.
You go to rallies,
I'll go anywhere where an app gives you free stuff so that you can, like, exploit the wrinkle right now in this whole app economy.
Especially when you're feeding teenagers.
And yes.
And there's a lot of stuff that you
And when they say, Dad, we go to rallies, I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
French fries.
I said 500,000. It's 750,000.
Oh, right. Oops. Gotcha. Okay.
I put you on the spot, so thank you for.
Well, we also have with us Jay DeVore. Who, Jay, do you want to have a seat?
Jay, you can take my spot. I gotta leave and go to a soccer game, so. Good luck. I gotta buy out. Good luck to my son.
Great.
Play well.
Yeah, all right. We'll see
you
all later.
See ya.
See
you, Nate. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. That is a tough project.
Yeah.
Have to come and follow and teach you guys.
That way.
I will assume most of you guys don't know why I'm here.
That's correct.
Or who I am, maybe.
Yep.
I am a real estate developer. I live over in Merkel. And I have done new construction and buying old apartment buildings and fixing them up, stuff like that. And one of the things I just wanted to contract on last week is the mayor's bringing up right now is this property at 909 and 925 Mayfield. And this has been a long time dream of mine to own these properties. Mostly because, like, I'm in the area, I love Bexley, and I've always felt like we have had a shortage of apartments, and this was kind of the biggest, most attainable thing that I could imagine. Anyways, so I'm in contract to buy a controlling interest in the holding company, and I shared with Ben last week that, hey, I just wanted a contract. I'm going to invest a lot of money in it, somewhere in the $5 million range on top of the purchase price. To
renovating the units?
Everything, like soup to nuts. So I said,
Ben invited me here to talk to you guys.
But not building new buildings.
Not building new buildings. I don't even know if we're going to, like, touch a piece of the... Obviously, it's very sensitive, and foundations and things, so one of my ideas was to put in, like, pavilion kind of gazebo-y thing, and I'm not sure how much of that we're going to do. And honestly, I just won a contract last week, so I don't have any firm plans other than a spreadsheet, and I got to call the banker, and I got to call this guy. So it's all kind of, like, coming together, but I did want to share with you guys that this is happening.
Is your plan to do a one-bedroom, two-bedroom? Just renovate what's there?
Yeah, renovate what's there.
Okay.
And they're all one, well,
yeah.
They're all one-bedrooms. I'm going to, there's an asterisk to that, but for practical purposes, they're all one-bedrooms.
Yeah, there's some they've converted to. But
there's
the
guy before me put a wall down the middle of the living room, and he called it a two-bedroom. Because it was a game he was playing with some housing vouchers.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So you get more money if it's a two-bedroom unit.
So your eventual plan is to pump up rents with better units?
Our plan is to vacate one building at a time completely, rip off the roof, replace units, paint the outside, new windows, new mechanicals, new carpet, everything. And as we're leasing up that one side, start work on the other side.
What's your price target for rent?
Around $1,100. I think it's pretty doable, but there's not a lot of comps outside, like in the city of Bexley, that are nice, newly remodeled, elevator, that kind of stuff. Okay, one thing that I am kind of like pretty excited about that I wanted to share with you guys is that one of my dreams is to put a mural on the side of the building. I want to paint the building the brick, either some modern color and kind of new windows and stuff. But one of my dreams for this is to put some art, kind of like wrapping the corner of this, facing the bar, and have kind of. You know, a vision board of the type of art that it might be, and I have some real kind of florally, murally type of inspirations. Another kind of vision of mine is to put in some pollinator gardens kind of in the front of the building. We're not allowed to put big trees in and other things to, it's an environmentally sensitive site, as you guys know, but to try to work with some kind of modern concepts of landscape architecture and art and kind of make it really come to life in a new way.
Is it fully leased now?
There's 11 empty units. That's 72.
And I think according to conversations with the current property owner that the ones that are occupied, represented, there are a good number of those that would have otherwise been evicted but haven't been for strategic reasons.
Almost all of them are month to month right now.
Yeah.
Some of them, the rents range from $400 a month to $1,100 a month. He hasn't wanted to sign new leases because he's been waiting for this voucher program to kick in from the CMHA, I think.
So are you going to do something like that too?
No.
Just straight market rate, no.
What I'd like to do is create a mixed income community, like market rate, have it be market rate driven, but look for incentives that would allow me to have sprinkled in there some low income units so that it's not filled with 100%, you know, well-to-do luxury professional type people, but it's more of a mixed income community. But generally speaking, it's going to be a market rate project. One of the reasons is, like, if you were smart financially, you'd leave it on the voucher program. But the incentives of the program is not something I can live with. In that there's no incentive to fix up the building, and that's why it looks the way it does. They get the same rent regardless of the condition of the building. therefore there's a disincentive, a heavy disincentive. You're spending, like, you can imagine, like, if you were had to repair something, feel like you were spending your own money because you're not getting any return out of it. So we will be exiting the voucher program. We will be vacating all of the units and then remodeling and then filling back in with market rate.
There's a an organization called Move to Prosper that does exactly what you are suggesting, where they want to move, sprinkle in different income levels.
Yeah.
And they help subsidize that. It's a lady here in Bexley that does that.
What's it called?
Move to Prosper. Amy Clavin.
I can send you Amy's contact information.
Okay.
Too.
I appreciate it.
Great. Yeah, the company actually has a couple of them, of their programs, and they're very successful.
You've got, there's some in North Cassidy, right?
And some in Parkview.
Yeah. Another thing that we talked about is the property tax abatement program, which is in place and does kind of match some of what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's huge. That makes this whole project viable, to be honest with you guys. It would be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year of property taxes.
When are you expected to close?
December 1st.
Assuming that date goes forward, then when would you anticipate your renovations be complete such that you have new tenants?
I'll have to give them 60 days notice. So in a best possible world, February 1st would be when construction starts, but I'm not so optimistic. I think it'll take a lot longer than that, building permits. And inevitably, there'll be financial overruns and we'll have to value engineer, and it'll just, you know, take a little while to get started. But I would presume by next summer or fall, the work will be almost done and releasing will have started.
Okay. Cool. Any questions for Jay or anything to communicate? Who's actually chairing?
Remind me, environmentally, those things. unless you're going down into the ground, you're not going to touch that part. Remind me, Mayor, the environmental.
Yeah, I think there's no further action there, right?
Yeah, actually, what the photo you see on Street View is this like the remediation area that's covered in straw there. I think that trees could be planted, Jay. They just need additional treatment in order to do it. So. And I think, we talked about a lot about, we met last week and talked about the history and the fact that CSC's had a lot of interest in trying to figure out ways to agitate in general with the entire area. Jay's well aware of the fact that we have, there's environmental contamination in the doubles nearby. I think you talked to me a couple years ago
about
maybe buying one of those properties.
I bought a double, and then the day I bought it cash, so it was like a fast thing. Day after it closed, I noticed that the city was buying doubles, and I said, why is the city buying doubles down here? And it's been shared with me the good news, and I put it up on the market that same day. I owned it for a couple days.
So I think what's really exciting about, you know, talking about the use that you have in mind is just the holistic vision that you have. And so what I was saying to Jay was, like, how can we, you know, I want to be really careful that we're encouraging and supporting what you're doing and adding value to what you're doing so that it's going to be successful.
You guys can help me, but not in any tangible way right now, but this is more or less a blank canvas, and we have some dollars set aside for property improvements. And so, frankly, I set aside some dollars for landscape and hardscape and stuff that we might not be able to spend due to the environmental issues. But if there's other things we can do, if there's really cool ways to connect to the park, I would love to figure that out. I'd love to do something at the front of the property. I don't know what that looks like, but, you know, one of the things that's kind of on my mind is this mural, and maybe that there's a way that we can work together to either have some sort of contest, bring in something local, like try to figure out what we want to put on the side of the building that faces the park, and that could be a really cool community engagement piece that's kind of rolling around my head right now.
In late August, early September of next year, we're targeting doing a mural festival. We had a grant into the Bexley Community Foundation, and the thought was like a couple locations in Main Street to bring in some like really amazing artists. But yeah, that would be kind of a neat idea. Maybe the timing would line up that this could be one of the locations of that.
Yeah, well, I would love that. I would love to figure it out. So if you guys have ideas, brainstorms, if something hits you in the middle of the night, just shoot me an email, because I love the site, I love Bexley, I want to make it an asset to the community, not something that we're embarrassed to have.
Awesome. Is the current owner going to stay on the ownership side?
He's going to get a 5% carried interest. So I don't expect him to have any management though.
I think there was a question from another, but I'm not sure who's chairing the meeting.
I will step in. Yes.
Question from the Peanut Gallery.
Yeah.
Do you plan to maintain 72 one-bedroom units or reconfigure and sprinkle in some two and three bedrooms as well?
Great question. So there are going to be 64 one-bedroom or 62 one-bedroom units and 8 two-bedroom units. I think that's the most that we can do with this within the space of the building. I'd say that. You guys tell me to stop or whatever, but we don't want to get into messing with the utilities and the mechanicals too much, so we're prevented from moving some of the walls. On an old building like this in the 60s, like there's asbestos insulation, there's nasty stuff in the walls, and it like, the price, as you can imagine, goes exponential, but there's 8 storage units that are adjacent to bedrooms that we're gonna capture and make those second bedroom units have a second bed and bath.
So those would be the true two bedrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. I would love to, I don't particularly want to own 71 one bedrooms. I would love to own like 30 one bedrooms and 42 bed or two and three bedrooms, but without messing with the walls and the economics of the price per square foot, that's kind of is what it is right now. It's going to be 64 8 2-bedrooms, and the rest of them are going to be 1-bedrooms.
Can you create any townhouses by going through the floor?
I never thought of that. I don't know. I don't know. Okay.
Any other questions?
I was just going to compliment you. It feels like maybe 12 months ago, the mayor and I and council member Robinson and Auditor McPeak walked through both of those units, and I feel very strongly that I think that they're going to be substantially improved based on what you're saying. I know you're going to have some challenges, but thank you for stepping up to that challenge.
It's going to be tough. It's kind of like it's the type of what makes the units really hard is the caked on eras of doing it wrong. So wrong trim on top of wrong paint on top of wavy walls, and it looks gross. And so the decision will be to like, how much of doing it wrong over the years do you want to scrape off to replace something? So you have to like take something that's a C minus off to add something that's a B plus, and you have to kind of wrestle with that. How far do you want to go? For those of you that don't know me, most of you, I have some cabins down in Hocking Hills I'm really proud of. If you guys want to see examples of my work, you can go to idlereserve.com, or you can, my company is called Dev Partners, Dev for DeVore Development. So dev.partners, www.dev.partners, you can kind of see some of the work that we've done. The one in Idle Reserve is the one in Hocking Hills. I point you to that one first because it is probably the thing I'm most proud of, and it's very local, and it's a modern eco retreat kind of tucked into the woods. It's really cool. So anyways, please, if you have any questions or follow up.
Thank you very much.
Don't hesitate.
For coming.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Nice Thank you.
You.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for working on this.
Yeah.
Thank
you. You guys.
I'm looking at your computer, if that's okay. Next up, we have a review of the minutes. Are there any comments or questions or edits?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
A second. Ben, motion made by Mike Simpson, seconded by Ben Kessler.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We are on to the Bexley Square Management Report. Did not know I was going to be chairing this meeting. I do not have any. Oh, we have an update from Gilbert.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't. Has anyone actually read the management report that was circulated? They would like to discuss it.
No. We can discuss it at our next meeting.
Sounds good. Yeah. The rent has come in, so that's. I'm half joking, but.
It's a good thing.
Yep.
I mean, I can give a little bit of my treasurer's report, perhaps this
year. The other two are real. Those are really good items.
The Brassica parking lot update.
So we did some working with Brassica. We did some minor changes to the parking lot that you might have seen. We added a crosswalk. As you drive in, and we'd asked Brassica to no longer do the curbside because it was causing some flow issues, and it was a temporary accommodation during COVID. But they have been, they now have been granted that space that has the pink striping, so they will have dedicated pickup drop-off space with the crosswalk that also gives access to the handicap spaces as well. So that's in place.
Is there signage there for that?
No, they're gonna order some signage, but Nate signed off on them having that. I think we talked about it at the last meeting, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
We did. Yeah.
So that has happened. So you can take a look at that if you didn't see it as you drove in. And then the other thing that we had wanted to talk about is the parking alternates for the parking lot that. Let me start back. So with the Trinity development, there's some discussion about using the Bexley Square / City Hall parking lot for access.
Why do you need that?
Yeah, if you're recused, then probably better to.
Is it possible to do this last? I don't think it's too difficult.
Yeah, we could come back to this if it's okay. Sure.
Okay.
I mean, if it's okay with the chair, Heidi.
Oh, yes. Chair.
Thank you.
Is Brassica still moving forward with their new signage package?
I believe so, but I haven't heard anything from that recently.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple of development updates just to bring you guys up to speed. Chelsea and Main Street gas station, they have... applied for a grant for a cleanup through the state of Ohio abandoned petroleum gas station grants, and the city is the grant recipient. So we have applied for that because they have done what they said they would do. I don't know council.
Who's they on that?
They is Ishmael Jalak, the Jalak family. And you might have noticed the city has started doing some work. They've agreed to us abandoning the curb cuts for them. On Main Street, so we're getting rid of those in anticipation of then the site's going to get cleaned and it'll be made development ready. And if they have it development ready by a certain date, and I don't have that agreement in front of me, then we're supportive of going to City Council to ask Council to release the assessment that's on the property right now, provided they make it available for development, essentially. So that's positive news, I think.
What's expected timeline on that grant process?
We should know like in the next month or two, and then they get going. It's pretty fast. It's not like a long running.
When you say assessment, these were the fines that were.
Yeah, the environmental impact fines. So they have about $120,000, I think, hanging over them on that, which is, to me, so far a success story because it's really encouraged them to take this seriously and make some forward motion. The Trinity apartment site. We'll be talking about the parking lot and our relationship to that, but that is BZAP had a preliminary hearing on that. ARB hears the architectural preliminarily this week on Thursday. The site, the landscape plan is going to have a preliminary review by a tree commission. think it's next Wednesday coming up, and then the next part of that meeting is 2 weeks from this Thursday, where there will be further discussion. So I don't anticipate any votes being taken this month on any of those, but that is moving forward through the review process with those boards.
It's next
Wednesday. Next Wednesday, yeah. Lucky Lotto site is, I asked Kathy for an update on that. They still, as you know, we circled around that project before. It was purchased by somebody who wanted to put a laundromat in it, which was not like the most exciting thing that's ever been proposed. But nonetheless, they went in, got some approvals. They've done nothing. They're actively having further code enforcement action taken against them. So I'm trying to get an update on where things stand with that. But I just wanted you guys to be aware that currently nothing is occurring. And I think they're coming up on their year of approval where it would drop off. So, any questions about development projects or sites? Land Use Strategy Commission has met several times. We're going to be doing some public workshops coming up. Thank you for your involvement, and Matt, who's been steering that, co-steering that.
Co-steering. strong co.
We have a public workshop probably coming up in the next month or two, but we've also talked about getting all the commissions and boards together for some brainstorming. I was talking to a couple board chairs who were talking about that. So I thought it would be great to get the CIC as part of that as well, if you guys are interested, the broader group. This will be like preliminary before any sort of planning is yet really underway, just some brainstorming around land use strategy. We anticipate the land use strategy report, the strategy itself, will become the next document that would guide the CIC, just like the current one is. So I think it's really important, obviously, to have full CIC involvement in that. And that's all I have by way of updates.
Okay, I'll let you
move on to the Trinity stuff.
You don't want to hear the August 2023 financial statement from Heidi?
I am pulling it up on my phone
sure.
as we talk.
Of course I do.
Totally prepared for this. I don't think any of the amounts are listed. So we're doing well financially. Still, as Ben said, tenants are paying. We always carry a small balance for our Cassidy property. It's at $13,122. We still have a large balance for the Ferndale Mayfield. You know, we're holding those funds from the city. That's at $354,000. We have our Bexley Square account. We made a couple of, you know, larger payments under that, both to cover the property taxes over the summer, and then we paid down our line of credit at Ohio State Bank because the rates have been so high. So we're currently at $189,000, and we were really waiting to, we kind of did an initial smaller payment down, but now that we're through the roof, through taxes, we have a better kind of handle on things. I think there'll be a second payment coming to get that line of credit down a little bit more. And then we have about $10,600 just in our general account.
What is the line of credit at right now, do you know?
I don't have that. I think it's around 375, but I'll confirm that.
361? That sounds about right.
That sounds about right.
The balance or the rate? What's
balance.
The balance.
Okay.
Our rate is... it's 8 now, I think, is what it is. Yeah. So it's we were at a very favorable rate for several years, and then are paying a much higher rate now. So.
And then you paid $189 was paid down.
No,
right?
$189 is the amount in our Bexley Square checking account.
Okay.
So that's the cash in the Bexley Square account.
Okay. What is prime right now? Like
I think it's 8.5, and we're 50 basis points below prime.
Yeah, I knew we were below prime. I was like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Look at that. No wonder no one wants to borrow money right now.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that for his closing.
Yeah.
And on Ferndale Mayfield, with that balance, with us essentially on hold with the city funds, and this should be an executive session question about purchasing property, just obviously.
Yeah.
But are we just on hold waiting for, see the way the county's going to go, or what are we on hold
Not
for?
The county. So it's the, we're in the process of moving forward with the nuisance actions, and I think we're on hold waiting for like the outcome to the nuisance actions on the projects.
But we don't expect county health to get involved.
County health is not, they're supportive of it, but they're not going to be the agent that's taking the lead.
Any other questions or old business? Okay, are you, we're gonna kick you out?
At least.
Thanks, Mike.
We don't have any other action items as board members are leaving, right?
That's, no.
Okay.
Do we have anything in executive session? Do we need to go into executive session?
We don't need to unless, we don't need to unless somebody wants to.
Okay.
So, I know you, this was just circulated earlier today, and I wish I could have printed out bigger copies for you, but our copier is currently down, so it's because our auditor won't allow us to, you know, buy a new copier and fix it, JK. So currently there are 70 parking spaces in the parking lot, and the site planner with Continental has drawn up four different options to consider, and we sort of had an initial meeting, we being Nate was not able to make it, so it was myself and some of our staff members here that looked at different options. And I'll just sort of make this easy. Option number one loses 13 spaces, and it doesn't, I don't think it's probably a good idea, but I'll explain it real quickly to you. It has the same drive aisle coming through with angled parking. It kind of maintains very much what we have today, but then adds in access points to the site. Option two loses less spaces. It loses 7 spaces. And by the way, this is in the context of shared parking adjacent on a structured parking garage. So there would be access to that parking garage from users of Bexley Square and Bexley City Hall. This one, which loses 7 spaces, has two-way traffic on the lane that is currently only one way. That's two-way traffic in both lanes here. But it goes to parallel parking. You can kind of see those red slots on both sides. Goes to parallel and maintains the center island and the center trees, which there's at least one person in this room that has some sentimental attachment to this. And then has pretty standard parking field of 18 foot depth, 22 feet for travel in the standard area. That's you know, accommodates a fairly normal parking space. Right now we have, it's a little different because it's one way. And our spaces are not exactly compact, but they're a little tighter than like Costco, right? This option three picks up 6 spaces. And the way it does it, pay attention to this section to the west of the site. So you can see option one has 29 feet space between those parking spaces and the proposed building. Option three here has 17 feet 9 inches. So what it does is actually pushes the entire parking lot further to the west.
Mm-hmm.
It moves the islands. You can see the islands shifting. And you end up with nose-end spaces along Bexley Square and Bexley City Hall. And another thing that it does is you notice these spaces are 16 feet deep, so they kind of come out, so they're a little more compact in general. I mean, they're not, these are not standard sizes. A Suburban will not feel great to park in this space, which, I mean, maybe that's a good thing. And then the fourth concept does the same thing. It just kind of changes the way we that it circulates, I think. Hold on. Fourth concept. Fourth concept gains a little bit of depth on one side. It gets even narrower next to the building here. But from my perspective, I think those two are very similar. So you could kind of look at it as a decision matrix that is, do we want to have like this shifted island, more parking field to the west, nose in spaces against the building, or what do we think about this parallel parking arrangement where we lose some spaces, but it's just a different parking feel.
To state the obvious, they all, that whole like right turn onto Main goes away in all of them.
Yeah, and actually that's been at our encouragement, because we are trying to reduce the number of curb cuts on Main Street, mm-hmm. and so that has always felt a little superfluous. There will be a dedicated right-hand turn lane in this arrangement, okay. so you can still circulate out on that right-hand turn.
When does that right lane only turn commence?
That would depend on which exact plan, and I think all of these can be, you know, all those red lines can be tailored. You could cut into that corner. You could create better stacking.
And at one point you talk about where it says plaza, like trying to save space to put something small,
like a building or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We and generate a little bit more value.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. These plans do not anticipate that. Yeah.
Is there any? Maybe it's just because I'm not a very good parallel parker, so I'm projecting onto the concept too. Like we were just saying, Brassica, it can back up. Like if this is getting more traffic at the light, I'm kind of nervous about having the parallel parking right there. But like I said, that could be me.
I think the 24, 25 foot width there.
Because it
helps
now
out
goes
a lot.
Both ways instead of just the line.
Yeah.
You have parallel both on both sides, you wouldn't have.
Right. And
yeah.
So you have more, you can go around people a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's a good point.
I thought the same thing on the egress, though, because right now that right turn,
mm-hmm.
I understand the goal, but that right turn lets a little pressure
yeah.
off. And there's the red light, the cars back up, and if they don't have that release for people opting to turn right, I almost always go east. But when I'm leaving, I almost always take the right and go around the block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if that's not there, then if the line and the red light backs up, then you're going to have a problem with this. Those first spaces getting out.
Yeah, that's that fixed with the light then? For a left turn arrow?
There's a lot that can be done with the light, but I think this is actually a physical issue of like, can you get to the right turn?
Right.
Or are you blocked by people stacked to the
right,
left?
Exactly. That was right.
And I think that can be accommodated with where this island sits exactly and where this line is. There can be some adjustments there.
You want to get your people to the right turn lane as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
As far back as
unobstructed.
Possible.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you don't imagine that residents are going to be parking there, right? This is their way to get back, or do you think some residents may park?
Well, there will be access to their garage.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, with the number of spaces in that garage, I think around a 300 space garage.
And how many units is
there? 220. I think that there's going to be a preference to be in the garage.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there still, I should look at the sign, like no overnight parking in our section or 4-hour limit? Because I'm thinking ours is so convenient to get in and out. Like I wouldn't want all the residents to take this parking.
Nobody has asked us to give up any of those restrictions, nor do I think, I don't think it would be wise to.
Big picture, we're gaining 70 spots that aren't, we'll say, dedicated to a single apartment.
Gaining?
I don't think it's
access.
Oh.
I think it's
with
like
the cross
45.
Access and shared parking in the.
No, that's a really important question, and I think that we need to zone in on that a little bit more.
Okay.
I don't think it's anticipated that they're going to have 220 reserved spaces, for example. And we need to talk through that with them. Somewhere.
Okay.
And that's,
I guess that's what I'm like. I don't know that making a decision about this without understanding how.
Yeah.
Flows into the other the garage, it seems premature. Like, I don't, but
oh,
I'm
not
important to see.
I'm not suggesting
not
now's the time to make
decision,
the decision either. Yep.
It is.
You're talking about the lot,
the
lot that's open to the public, quote unquote, but
correct.
They also said
yeah.
that people working in the building would be using that lot.
Yeah. Well,
so,
and the community. I mean, it's a TIF potential.
Right.
So it's
right.
access to everybody.
And I thought it was only 45. Spots. Did they say 70?
Today?
No, in the what they're going to have over there for public use.
Oh.
There's 300 spots, 220 for residents.
I think.
Oh, 80. Okay.
No, I think we're. Well, this is a conversation that council we need to have with
yeah.
the TIF.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that we're going to want more than.
Okay. Yeah.
80.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the garage is part of the TIF. I think the premise is it's free and open to the public.
Yeah.
With the exception of perhaps a certain amount of reserve spaces, but I don't think that number is 220.
I just am envisioning this being like, I just think of Austin Powers trying to turn around a golf cart in a narrow, hallway, and I think that's, I get worried that the more spots we add into that, that's what we're creating.
Right, right. So your point is, don't sacrifice the comfort of the parking lot just to try to cram more spaces in.
That's what I'm saying. That's where my head goes. And granted, I walk here all the time, so I'm never going to park there, so... But yeah. I'm trying to think of others.
My head goes, as I look at this, a couple places. One is, I'm picturing cars pulling in, nosing into this space right here and down there, and I don't think that gives a feel that we go for this space. I think it sort of corrupts the brand of the center and of City Hall. But the parallel spaces, especially if you figure like, maybe there's some brick involved there as well. Maybe there's some like cafe lights coming over top. I think that there's some that can actually really add to the character of the space and increase the convenience. So I think when I saw this idea, which is a vast improvement over, in my opinion, what they've been showing us before, I got kind of excited about that, intrigued by it. I think you could make something pretty special with that.
With concept two.
Concept two, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the spots facing you're right, like I don't think I could figure out what it was, but it's that it's like the charm is gone. Now you're just in a strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
So since you went big picture, let me ask a really big picture question. So we obviously own this property here. We have, I assume, some kind of access easement issues to deal with here.
Mm-hmm.
So what is our role as a CIC in terms of this project, and what our input is or should be? Are we observers of this project because it's market oriented, it's between, you know, the developer and the city and ARB and all of that, or are we involved from an approval process?
You're not involved from an approval. We are not involved from an approval process, except what is unusual here and incredibly important is that the exact same reason we kept a hold of Bexley Square parking or center was to control the light. Not to discourage development, but to provide, knowing that there could be access to the light for future development, and knowing that Trinity Apartments, which has perennially been talked about redevelopment, would fail without access to the light. So the CIC needs to provide access to the light, or can, you know, I think should, but there is leverage in that too, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, if you disagree with what's being proposed, or you feel like it's not going to be additive to the center, then why would you agree to it? And also not additive to Bexley writ large, because the role of the CIC is to support development in Bexley, and presumably good development in Bexley, right?
Yeah.
But that's up to the 15 members of the board to decide, really.
And I asked the question because I've been asked the question. I've been asked like, hey, what's the CIC doing about that development? And I don't know. Are we doing anything? Are we involved in the process, or are we kind of observers of the process? And, you know, given that our mission is to, you know, advance the city, is it city council that's kind of taking the lead on what's going to go there, and then we support that? I don't mean to ask an overly theoretical question. I just don't know what our role is here.
I think our role here is to help facilitate the economic development of that site, however we do decide to do that. And that's our only role. We can't approve what's going on there. All we can do is help facilitate the economic development of that site.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like, would they be opposed to, moving the parking lot over, but then not making more of a, having a wider space but more green? Like, they move it over, but the medians are really narrow still. Like, could we plant more plants and trees like in the middle? You know what I mean?
Are you
17.9, you gain
right over here in this area?
I think what you're saying is
like, move it over 17.9, but then they have that. but wider medians, like gain space, so we gain space. The parking lot feels more comfortable, but then you can also plant more plants. You can have more plantings on our side of the lot over there. You can make it really green around our parking lot.
Isn't there an elevation change that would keep you from doing that?
No,
they propose it right there.
Yeah, they're saying, I see what you're saying. You're saying take concept three, but
the parking
go for the parallel
two.
Concept two and then have a wider median.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because right now we have a brick wall.
So you could do that. One thing to think about with that is you would, with that concept hybrid, three keeps the curb line that's right there on that median, on the east side of the median. So you presumably keep the curb line, but just make that median wider. So then you would have to decide, are we tearing out these trees to make them more like in the center? Or keeping them somehow just for the sake of wider landscaping? And the other thing I would say, even though it's not our project, is that the 29 feet of landscaping to the west side allows for a much higher quality of landscape and just buffer with that residential development, where you would presumably think that they could do something pretty special there.
On their side.
On their side, but it's still our interface.
We keep
too.
The wall, though. That concept has keeping that wall.
No, I think that wall goes away on any of them.
I have a comment. Was there a conversation as to kind of why they located the curb cut, the farther plant south, there? I'm just thinking also if we
talk about this.
No, farther south.
This
the entrance. What do you mean?
The curb cut to their property.
Yeah, the connection point.
Right
yeah,
there.
That. To your point about like bigger picture, if we're looking about connecting all the way from, essentially, it would be Drexel to
Parkview.
What does the kind of master plan look like at that point? And if, there's the connection point all the way to the north, and I know putting one just farther south might seem a little bit too close, but then you have more of a straight kind of thoroughfare that's connecting all of the properties, and then you may have less people kind of jogging around the parking lot and going all the way around. Also, what's it connecting to in their development? At what point into the parking garage or, just what is it? So I would say we need
to see a little bit more. Is there access out of the back of the park of their parking?
Yes.
To Parkview?
Well, there's something about, I think there's a rationale for because of the topography of the site and some of the circulation for where they have this kind of eastern side of the garage access. But I think the intent of this conversation here, I wanted to kind of hear what thoughts were, and then it would be great to have them here at our next meeting to explain a little bit more.
Sarah, I'm afraid if you move it back, you'll exacerbate the stacking problem. At least this way you stack more in their garage for the right turn.
Does that go to their garage, Ben?
Or wherever.
That goes to their garage.
The drive to the south goes to their garage.
Yeah, that goes in their garage. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have access out onto Main Street, so you could go through the garage, and you could circulate out to Main Street, so that there will be a right out.
Oh, from their garage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, roughly kind of lines up like with where Sheridan is.
But does it fully go into the garage, or is it access to the garage, and then there's a cut through alley there?
No, that goes in the garage.
It directly access
going
into the
down.
Garage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so it's a window stacking. Okay. I thought we were going to eliminate. Sounds like we're
eliminating one and adding one.
Yeah, eliminating one.
Yeah.
And then there's the flow at the top too, right at the north.
Yeah.
West making.
Anyways, I just want to see what actually we're connecting into to make sure that it makes sense from a traffic flow and looking at the entire block. Because we know cars, once you connect it, they're going to utilize it to cut through, the whole center. So I feel like you want to make sure it makes sense.
Yeah, 100%.
I have a really dumb question. Regardless of which concept or additional concept happens, who's paying for all those changes to the parking lot?
They have this in their budget.
So they would
it's
pay
part
for
of their
it.
Budget, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
I have a question. My name is Jim Gross. I live at the Alexander the point you're raising is a very important point in terms of what happens on this supposed cross easement to Parkview. That is a real problem. The section that goes across our property, you have no legal right to access that. It's a private driveway. There is an easement for the Trinity property. Trinity doesn't have the right to give all the properties to the east access to that. We don't oppose development. We'd like to be at the table to discuss, to see are there ways to deal with this. But you really do need that access point, because I think you're absolutely right. Frank has told me you don't have to worry because no one will take that route. I think they absolutely will. And our driveway, our garage exits and enters from that. We have guest parking. We have a detached garage with 8 bays. People back out. This is a real serious issue. And so I'm glad you brought that up. We don't oppose development, but we would like to be, we think we have to be part of the conversation, and we don't feel like we have been up to this point. So we're willing to work with everybody to see how we make this work. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I had no right to do that.
No, you didn't.
Since you were on that subject. Yeah.
Thanks for your comments.
I think to Jim's point, like, there is a lot of conversation going on with the neighbors. There's a lot of conversation going on with neighbors on the Bryden side. And so I think I wouldn't even know what to tell you right now their current circulation plan is. And so I think having somebody here next meeting, when we've had the benefit of another VZAT meeting and some of those conversations maturing, will help enlighten that conversation for this parking lot. What I think I'm hearing, though, is in general, under the premise that there is this shared parking in the structured parking garage, there is a desire to maintain a high quality for our parking lot, even if it means sacrificing a couple spaces. We're not trying to maximize spaces, we're trying to maximize the interface with these buildings and the site in general. Is that kind of the ethos? Okay. So we'll keep working with them to bring back some concepts and have them at the next meeting.
Great. Any other questions? New business? Motion to adjourn?
Ben Kessler, so moved.
Second.
Todd Friedman.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Adjourn.
Thank you.